Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of that.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Everybody, it's nationally syndicated Ron Kelly Show. It can be heard all across the country on blogtalkradio.com. Oh, you know, I am hyped tonight. And yes, indeed, Ron Kelly is the man. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. It's January 7th, I should say, 2021. It's the day after the day that will live in absolute infamy. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the nationally syndicated talk radio program, The Ron Kelly Show, that can be heard anywhere on the web on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining me, and thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for continuing to bless me and many of you. And I got to tell you, this was the most egregious display of white privilege I have ever seen. But before I get to that, yesterday, the most powerful legislative body on earth were meeting in one of the safest buildings, supposedly, in America. The Vice President of the United States, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Senate Majority Leader, along with the entire House and Senate, were meeting to do their constitutional duty, which I didn't even know this thing even happened. I didn't even know that this even took place, the confirmation of the Electoral College votes. Because what happens is the electors, once the state is won, the electors automatically go to the person who won that state. So, I mean, it's just stunning, just stunning. So what happens is the 50 boxes with the votes inside are taken to a joint session of Congress, and the vice president officiates over this, and he's the one who he doesn't make any decisions. He can't switch the votes. He can't do anything. All he does, like, I think the Wall Street Journal gave the best analogy of it. All he does is, like, over the envelope. You know how you watch the Grammys or the Emmys or the Academy Awards and somebody opens the envelope? That's really all that Vice President Pence is supposed to do. Open the envelopes. That was it. So I didn't even know this even took place because it was so routine and so mundane that most of America didn't even know it took place. And so it was made to certify Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. Now, you know, I talked about Trump on my show the last few years, so I am very familiar with his unhinged, crazy, and deranged antics. But even I was stunned by what took place yesterday in the Capitol building of the United States of America. Now, and I know I have friends, shout out to Gil Maestro Jr. I know I have friends who are Trump supporters, and hopefully we will stay Trump supporters. But I'm not going to bite my tongue on anything I have to say today. So, you know, if you're my friend, you'll be my friend after this show is over. But this was totally ridiculous. So Donald Trump called his supporters to D.C. January 6th. Donald Trump, weeks ago, planned this rally. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, planned this rally. Shout out to Linda LaBrosa. Where you been, boo? What's up, girl? How you doing? So Donald Trump, a couple weeks ago, planned this rally. Stop the steal, rally, whatever. Everybody come to D.C. Come rally with me. So they did. They did. The people showed up. Thousands of Trump supporters showed up in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. Thousands of Trump supporters waving the Trump flags, wearing the Trump hats, all kinds of Trump memorabilia going on. And they came to Washington, D.C. to rally with their fearless leader, Donald Trump. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's a foregone conclusion because the president, Joe Biden, has been certified by 50 states. All 50 states have certified Joe Biden as the president of the United States of America. 60 court cases, 59 of them thrown out. The only case that they won was one case where they sued because they said that they weren't able to get close enough to the tables in the situation where the votes were being counted. So that one case, they won, and they were able to get a little bit closer to the tables where the vote counting was going on, the mail-in ballots. Oh, my goodness. What a day. I wish I could have been down there. What a day. 50 states certified Joe Biden as a winner. I mean, the states that Joe Biden won, they all certified him as the winner. 59 court cases lost. Supreme Court with three Trump appointees, three people that Donald Trump personally appointed to the Supreme Court, kicked that lawsuit to the curb when half of the conservatives in the United States of America joined in on this lawsuit, suing other states for each state has its own rules. Each state, through the Constitution, is able to set up their own election rules. Each state. So, well, am I going to even get through this? So, everything, you know, there was no way that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would not take the office, would not take be the president and the vice president of the United States of America. There was no way. So Trump calls his people down to D.C., Stop the Steal rally, whatever the case may be. And as I said a little bit earlier, I mean, I've been watching Trump for 4 years. I've been talking about him for 4 years. You can go back 4 years on the Ron Kelly Show to my archives. And not every week, but for the most part, when he did something extraordinarily stupid, I would talk about it on my radio program. But this last thing was way, way over the top. So he calls his people down into D.C. and he has this rally. He speaks, you know, Rudy Giuliani speaks, talks about combat. Donald Trump's junior speaks, talks about, you know, taking over the country. And Donald Trump speaks. So he tells his people, go down. Shout out to Stacey Adams Watson. Hey, Stacey, how you doing? All right. So Donald Trump tells his people, go down to the Capitol building. I'm going with you, which he did, and he went home. You know, another line. He's good at it. So he sends his people down to the Capitol building. And what I saw was absolutely unbelievable. It was unbelievable. So he lit a match under his supporters and went home. Shout out to Terrence Gregg, who's watching the program. Stacey Adams, Anthony Moriano, who's watching the program. Good to see you again, Anthony. Linda Lombrazo, Gil Maisto Jr. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on the day after one of the most infamous days. It'll go down in history as one of the most infamous days in the history of the United States of America, where democracy was threatened yesterday. Shout out to Linda Lombrazo, who talks about the 25th Amendment. You know, all the people who spoke on violence. No question. And I'm going to get to that, you know, because I have a couple of special guests coming in tonight. I'll be speaking with the 35th District Assemblywoman, Shavonda Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey. She'll be on in the next break. And then I'll be talking to Woodland Park Mayor Keith Kazmark in the third break. So I'm going to get to all of this stuff. I'm going to get to this. So Shavonda Sumter, Assemblywoman Shavonda Sumter, at 7:20, and Woodland Park Mayor Keith Kazmaier at 7:40. So I'm going to get to all of this stuff. But y'all hang around. I know things just hang around. Shout out to Jazzy Jess who's watching the program. Thank you for being here. So Trump lit a match under his supporters and went home to gleefully watch it on television and refused to send in the National Guard and or other federal law enforcement agencies to stop the violence. Now, the images of the Trump mob chasing police officers and hitting them on the head was striking because this is the so-called law and order president. This is the, anytime you say Black Lives Matter, they say, oh, no, Blue Lives Matter. This is the Blue Lives Matter crew who assaulted a lot of the police officers who were there. It was a stunning, stunning display yesterday as Trump supporters all shout out to Wanda Woody Wilson. I'm jealous you're still in Florida. Good to see you, my sister. It was a stunning display yesterday as Trump supporters all decked out with Trump flags and Trump memorabilia overran a small group of Capitol Police who had plenty of advance warning that there may be some violence perpetrated by Trump's rabid supporters and did nothing to prepare for it. I was absolutely stunned at the ease that the Trump mob was able to break into the Capitol building and even took pictures in Nancy Pelosi's office. Nancy Pelosi is the third person in the line of succession to be the president of the United States. So if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for some reason cannot fulfill the balance of their duties, then Nancy Pelosi will be the president of the United States. That's how high up she is on the ladder. And these people, white folks, now, and I know, you know, some people are going to, I'm not going to make excuses for myself tonight. White folks, shout out to Lucius T. Haynes who's watching the program. White folks were able to stroll into the Capitol building as if they were going home. They strolled in there. They one of them even sat. I mean, you can see the pictures, the images of white Trump supporters who sat in the same chair. They broke into the Senate chamber, sat in the same chair that Vice President Pence, the Vice President of the United States, was sitting in just a few minutes earlier. Shout out to Jimmy Williams, my brother from another mother. White people. And then this is, and people, most of my audience is white, so don't even go there like I'm anti-white because I'm not. But these people were able to waltz into that building. Yes, I did. Lucius T. Haynes. Yes, I did. Say your name, my brother. Say your name. Thank you for listening and watching. So these people were able to waltz into the Capitol building. I mean, strolled in, broke windows, climbed through. I mean, I'm thinking the windows should have been maybe bulletproof or anti-break or something. I mean, the windows on my truck are better than the windows on the Capitol building, where the House and the Senate, where the seat of American power meets, the Vice President, the Majority Leader of the Senate, the Leader of the House, Nancy Pelosi, all of these people were in there. And these white folks just strolled into the Capitol building with virtually no problem, overran the police. And then you see places, you see pictures of where, and see, this isn't conjecture. This isn't just, you know, making all of this stuff up. No, I'm not making this up. You know, the video shows police officers helping, letting people go through. You see police officers bringing rioters out of the Capitol building and letting them go. No plastic handcuffs, no nothing. Okay, nothing. They were walking the people out of the building, and it really made my blood boil. Because it's clear that white people are not afraid of the police. They don't have to be. White people are not afraid of the police. Because they know they're not going to be treated like black or brown demonstrators who weren't doing anything even close to what the white Trump mob was doing. They came to the building to commit a coup. The Trump supporters came to the Capitol building to overthrow the United States government. That's why they were there. That's why they were there. They went down there to overthrow the United States government. They went down there to make sure to overthrow the United States government. That hasn't happened in 135 years. I mean, they went down there to overthrow the United States government. And they were egged on by the president of the United States of America. Just totally unbelievable. I may have to take a break. That's what they did. They went down there to overthrow the government. That's why they went down there. And I was stunned at the ease that they were able to walk into that building, break into the chamber. You had Congress people and senators cowering in the closets, hiding in the basement. There was one lady who was praying, and she wasn't doing like that quiet prayer. She was doing a church prayer. She was doing a black church prayer. Old girl was like, she was in it. They were praying. And it was like, and they just strolled in there. What happened yesterday was the culmination of a barrage of lies by Trump, and he was ably assisted by assorted elected officials, and I'll get to that when 35th District Assemblywoman Shabonda Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey, will be on in just a few, 3 minutes. I believe. Let me keep an eye on the monitor so I can see what she calls it. Yeah. See, because Black Lives Matter people were getting the crap beat out of them. You know what I'm saying? See, these Capitol Police officers, now the Metropolitan Police, Washington, D.C. Police they don't protect federal buildings. The feds protect federal buildings. And the unpreparedness was outrageous. Because they knew 15, 20,000, 30,000 people, Trump supporters, are going to come to D.C. And they didn't do nothing. But see, but let a black person get shot, right? Let a black person get shot. Let a black person get shot. And they mobilize the troops right away. You got armored vehicles. You got pepper bullets. You got rubber bullets. You got tons and tons of mace, tear gas, all of this stuff. When Black Lives Matter has a rally, Wanda Woolley Wilson says that he invited him. Shout out to Jimmy Williams, my brother, who says 100%. Thank you, brother. Linda Lombroso says, televised, they are two American, white privilege was on display. Yes, it was. And Wanda Woody Wilson, I don't know what program you was watching, but there was more than 1,000 people out there. There was many more than 1,000. I don't know what camera angle you had, but there was more than 1,000 people. But Black Lives Matter people wouldn't have got treated so nice. You see police officers pouring water in the eyes of rioters who had just been sprayed with pepper spray. Treating them like family. See, because white people are not afraid of the police. That's why you see these videos of white people going after the police, punching them upside the head, taking their cars, driving off with the police officer's squad car. Because white people know that unless they directly threaten a cop, they're going to be all right. And unless a white person has a gun in their hand, they're going to be all right. They're not going to get killed. So that's wrong. Shout out to Wanda Woodley Wilson. That's wrong. That's wrong. There was more than 1,000 people there. And anybody who saw that on TV, no, there was more than 1,000. I totally disagree with that. There was more than 1,000 people there. Shout out to Dex Nemhard, who's watching the program. Dex, I do have your T-shirt. I'll bring it next. I'll put it in my car, and I'll bring it next time I see you. So, yeah. So, Black Lives Matter people got the crap beat out of them. Black Lives Matter people got hit with rubber bullets. They got hit with tear gas. Flash grenades. They had hundreds and hundreds of police officers there ready, because they knew what was going to happen. So when a black person got killed, and just in Kenosha, Wisconsin, just the other day, they were ready when the announcement was made that there would be no charges against the police officer who shot Jacob Blake in the back 7 times, those cops were ready. They were lined up. They had the armored car. They had the dogs. They had the rubber bullets. They had everything that they needed, the tear gas, the flash grenades. They had everything. They were ready. But why wasn't they ready for the Trump people? Why wasn't they ready for the Trump people? See, because white people, that's why those people ran up in that building, because they don't have nothing to worry about. Now, one lady was killed. One woman was killed. They said it was a police-involved shooting. One woman was killed. She was shot in the neck, 35-year-old. I don't have her name in front of me. And 3 other people died because they had pre-existing conditions. I don't know, maybe had heart attacks or seizures or whatever the case may be. You know. But, I mean, just unbelievable. White people don't get treated like black people. The white Trump supporters don't get treated like Black Lives Matter supporters. Yeah, it was. Shout out to Ronald McCready, my grammar school brother. Shout out to Gail Carnegie. Thank you for your support, my sister. Where was the Secret Service? Who knows? Wanda Woody Wilson says only 4 people were killed. It wasn't that crowded. Wanda, I don't know what you was watching. I don't know what you were watching. But you know what? Maybe I was watching the wrong thing. But that place was packed with people. Just on the Capitol steps, there was 1,000 people. That, I mean, when they showed the shot, the helicopter shot, there were thousands of people there. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, I'll leave it there. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'll be talking to 35th District Assemblywoman Shavonda Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey, in just a couple minutes. She should have been here already. All right, we'll see what happens with her. Maybe she's running a little late. And Keith Kazmark will be joining me at 7:40, I believe. They're scheduled to appear. That's what we say in the radio business. They're scheduled to appear in case they don't appear. But in any case, yeah, this is crazy. This was crazy. So, you know, let me take a quick break. Let me take a break because I'm already sweating. I'll take a quick break and I'll get to all your comments and everything that you guys have said. I'll get to that in just a few minutes once I take this very quick break. So we'll take it and we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Donnie Wilson, who says that place was packed. Yes, it was. Gail Carnegie says the white people probably want to take those people hostage or take them to the White House. Yes, they did. Linda Lombroso says, hate me if you want. People died. They deserve what they got. No tears for me. Interesting. Shout out to Ronald McCready. Shout out to who asked, where were the yeah, where were the, I don't know. Shout out to Clarence Anderson, who joined the program. Linda Lombroso says, Georgia went blue. That Stacey Abrams, yeah, Stacey Abrams deserves an Academy Award for her performance. Wanda Woody Wilson says, it wasn't more than that at the time of the televised. There was a lot of people there. Shout out to Donnie Wilson, who joined the program. Now, here's what, now, you don't have to listen to me. Here's what President-elect Joe Biden said yesterday.
A little over an hour and a half after the chaos started, I got a text from my granddaughter, Finnegan Biden, who's a senior in her last semester at the University of Pennsylvania. She sent me a photo of military people in full military gear, scores of them lining the steps of the Lincoln Memorial because of protests by Black Lives Matter. She said, Pop, this isn't fair. No one can tell me that if had been a group of Black Lives Matter protesting yesterday, there wouldn't have been, they wouldn't have been treated very, very differently than the mob of thugs that stormed the Capitol. We all know that's true. And it is unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. The American people saw it in plain view. And I hope it sensitized them to what we have to do.
Hey, that was Joe Biden yesterday. That was President-elect Joe Biden talking about Black Lives Matter protesters would have been treated differently. Now, this is I have some little bit of hope because this is the person who's going to be the president of the United States in 14 days or 13 days, rather. Now, will he come across on it? I mean, I don't know. But you wouldn't have got that from Trump. You wouldn't have got that from Trump. You wouldn't have heard that. You know, you won't hear anything like that from Trump. And shout out to Donnie Wilson. This is absolute truth. Yes. Yes. Now, I don't want to make this all about Black Lives Matter and these things, you know, I don't want to make it about that. I'm going to continue with the show. I have not heard from Assemblywoman Sumter yet. Maybe she heard my opening rant and decided she wanted to be on the program. But I haven't heard from her yet, so I will continue on with the program because the show must go on. I don't want to make this all about Black Lives Matter. But we know that Black people would have been treated differently, and it's just part of America. It's part of the fabric of America that white people get treated better than Black folks. You see, because you know, with all the progress that has been made, and yes, progress has been made. Progress has been made. You know, with the death of George Floyd, a lot of things changed. They took cops off the air. I mean, cops was on the air for 25 years. They took cops off the air. They took live PD off the air because of George Floyd. A lot of things happened. A lot of things happened because of George Floyd. So there was some progress made. Linda Lombroso says Trump would have said they were good people, and it's Trump and his father. Because he hasn't said anything so far. He hasn't said anything about the behavior. He hasn't said anything about what happened, because Trump is a thug. Trump is a thug. Trump is the biggest mistake that America has ever made. The biggest mistake. And even after the melee took place, see, because what happened was while the first meeting, because there were two, they met and then they ran down in the basement and they met again after police gained control of the building and swept it to make sure nobody else was in there. And now these people, what happened was they went back. Now, there was a couple of senators and some congressmen who objected to Joe Biden's election victory. There were some people who objected to that. And you're allowed under the Constitution, when the joint session of Congress meets, to certify Joe Biden or whoever the winner was to be certified the victor, you are allowed to object, even though it's not going to do any good. So, shout out to Gail Carnegie, who says Trump, Instagram, and Twitter were shut down.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard Facebook and Twitter, Gail Carnegie. I heard Facebook and Twitter were shut down. Trump's. It should have been happened a long time ago. It should have happened a long time ago. But they tried to give him a play because he was the president of the United States. So what happened was, now, I lost my place. Yeah, so what happened was, when they met back again, now the first time, Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, and Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, and about four others, the newest senator, Tommy Tuberville, used to be the college football coach. He just came in, and another lady, a couple of other people. There's about six. There were six people who objected. Out of 100 senators, there were six senators who objected. Shout out to Donnie Wilson. Said he was a mistake for us and everyone else who are decent, but he was the opposite for the white supremacy. You see, let me sidebar for a second and address Donnie Wilson. Now, Donald Trump didn't create these people. He didn't create these people. These people were here long before Donald Trump got here. You know, these people were sitting around being pissed off. You see, because back in the 50s and 40s and 50s and a piece of the 60s, it was fashionable to be a racist, anti-Semite, antithetical toward people of color. It was fashionable. It was like having on a new suit, you know, a new car, a pair of shoes. Being racist was fashionable. But after the death of Martin Luther King and some other things that happened, the civil rights movement, you know, where they walked over that bridge and John Lewis got bashed over the head just for trying to get the right to vote. See, so once the civil rights laws were passed, it wasn't so fashionable to be a racist or be the anti-Semite or be antithetical toward black folks. So they went underground. They went underground. They kept it in a house. They kept it amongst their friends. You know, when they sat in the backyard and drank beer or whatever they were doing, they talk about the N-words, the niggers, you know. Them niggers, I can say that on my air. And so it became not so fashionable to be a racist. But Donald Trump, oh, she's calling now, okay. Donald Trump made it better. Donald Trump tapped into those folks. He tapped in 74 million people, despite all the crap that Donald Trump has done in the last 4 years, he still got 73.1 million people to vote for him. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So these people have been sitting around talking about immigration and black folks and such, until just recently. Okay, I'm going to take. We're going to talk a little bit with 35th District Assemblywoman Siobhan Sumter, right now. Greetings,
Hi, greetings, how are you?
Okay, everybody. This is one of the brighter lights on the New Jersey political scene. This is 35th, the smartest lady I know. That's why I always call her. She's 35th District Assemblywoman, the Honorable Democrat from New Jersey, Siobhanda Sumter. Welcome, Assemblywoman. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. And Happy New Year's and salutations to you, Ron, and to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them out there. They are on me today. Listen, so
yes.
can you imagine being in a legislative meeting,
no.
You know, with Wimberly down the aisle and then having a chamber overrun by a vicious mob?
Listen, it was a scary time for us yesterday and in fact, traumatizing. And I'm going to use that word as I think of Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, who's a friend and a mentor, being in that space, in that house at that time. Congressman Bill Pascrell from my district, Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, Congressman Donald Payne, Folks that we know, we care about, they're good people. We sent to Washington to work, Senator Booker. It was quite scary to watch that on TV, let alone I can only imagine, you know, what they felt being there.
Yeah, it was stunning. You know, Congress people, senators, somebody sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, you know, someone else sitting in the same chair that Vice President Pence, the Vice President of the United States, was sitting in just a few minutes ago. But let me ask you this now. As a Democrat and as a woman, you must be profoundly proud that not only a woman of color is going to assume the office of the Vice Presidency of the United States, but there will be two women in the line of succession who would be president if Joe Biden, for some reason, could not finish his term. So how big of a crack in the glass ceiling is this, in your opinion?
So it's a crashing of the glass ceiling, Ron, if we can use that. But it took a historic pandemic for us to get there. Let's think about that, because prior to March of 2019, there was all indications that the 45th person who's serving as the president was going to win. He had a good economy. He had people following him blindly. And then we had a historic pandemic that shut the country down, let alone the world down, let alone the economy. And he refused to respond, and we lost lives senselessly as a result of his inaction, which I'm a believer, a strong faith believer. This was divine. And because when you look at, we had an unprecedented number of people who voted for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris during a pandemic with a vote from their home, not even at the polls.
You're right, everyone I'm speaking to, 35th District Assemblywoman Shavonda Sumter, Democrat from the great state of New Jersey. Now, even with that, though, you know, can I say that if Trump's inaction even though we had a pandemic, that Trump's inaction, his bungling, his devil may care attitude toward the pandemic helped seal his fate?
You can. I think you definitely can say that his inaction definitely sealed his fate. To the civil unrest that we saw in the summer with George Floyd, the senseless killing that we cannot unsee, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and we saw protests for 50 days straight across the world of this travesty that did not receive the restraint that we saw yesterday on national TV of a mob storming the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah, it was absolutely, I'm still, you know, because I'm still like just stunned, because again, I've been on the air for the whole entire 4 years that Trump has been the president. And, you know, I've seen a lot sure you have too. And I'm just still stunned how he lit the match and went home. He said he was going to go down there with him. Trump went to the White House, watched it on TV gleefully.
Yeah.
As folks were breaking windows and threatening the lives of elected officials,
government. They stormed with arms, loaded weapons. There is a difference. We've had peaceful protests from the Poor People's March with Dr. King, the Million Man March, the Women's March in 2016 when Trump was elected, right? Across the country and across the nation and nationally, internationally, and Black Lives Matter marches over the summer peacefully. And this was in fact, and they were allowed to make it up the steps of the U.S. Capitol and into the halls let alone sitting at the speaker's desk and the Senate president's desk.
Yeah, and see, and I spoke about that for the first 20 minutes. I had to get that out because I didn't want to drag you into it. But
Sure.
Yeah, I had to get my rant off before you came on because now I got to be a good radio personality. But
yeah,
because I know how this stuff works. So okay,
yes.
Good news first. All right, now it's got to be great to be a Democrat these days, especially after the victory, first of all, of Joe Biden. And some of your fans are on my Facebook screen, people who love their 35th District Assemblywoman.
Thank you.
Yeah, and some of them are making some comments and are totally agreeing with you. Now, it's got to be a good time to be a Democrat, especially not only the victory of Joe Biden, but the sweep. I mean, the absolute. Now, I wasn't
yes.
a landslide.
Yes.
The sweep of the Georgia Senate runoffs that puts the Democrats in control of all three branches of government. Now, before I go any further, Assemblywoman Sumter, the runoff, I understand that the runoff at one time was a ploy to stop black people from getting into office. Speak to that.
51%. So you're talking about in Georgia, the state of Georgia, it was, and congratulations. Let me just pause to congratulate Stacey Abrams, who is a sister and a friend
for her
double down effort from an election being stolen from her when she ran for governor by a secretary of state who closed polling places, changed the hours, and discounted throughout ballots of registered voters of Georgians. And she doubled down in that space since that loss to make sure that she understood the law and that voters weren't disenfranchised with her Fair Fight organization nonprofit. So congratulations to Stacey Abrams and her team for standing in the gap of that space.
Yes, I was just saying, gotta be on the lookout for her. Yeah, she should be the chairperson of the Democratic National Committee, in my humble opinion.
You know what? In all respect to all the things that Stacey is quite capable of doing, a Harvard law grad, her heart is set on running for governor of Georgia, and I do believe that Georgia needs her. And the fact that the election was stolen from her, she deserves that space to provide honest, good representation for Georgians, right?
I think the next time, you know, she's still young enough, she's still a young lady. So the next time, the next 4 years or so, maybe Trump will help her.
That election is in 2022, so it's right around the corner.
Oh, okay, cool. It's 2 years, maybe he'll. I think that we have someone you may know, Assemblywoman Sumter. We have Woodland Park Mayor Keith Dasmark is on the line. Good evening, Mayor. Welcome to the program.
Sure. Hey, Mayor.
Good evening, Ron. Assemblywoman, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you, Mayor.
Happy New Year to you. I got your card in the mail yesterday. Thank you very much.
I didn't get a card. Oh, wait a minute. No.
Ron, I'm blaming the Postal Service. It's coming.
I'll stop by your office and pick it up.
You got it.
So, welcome, Mayor Kasmark. I saw you on Facebook. And see, what I do with the people supporters, I just kind of, you know how you stick a stick through the fence and make the dog bark and you know he can't continue. So, but that's basically what I do. I stick with the Trump supporters and egg them on, like he did yesterday. But they can't storm my building. But I noticed that you're speaking to them, to some of the Trump supporters. And like I said, there's no, they are locked in, Assemblywoman Sumter as well. The Trump supporters I don't know what he Jim Jones these people, but they are locked in on him. It's just unbelievable. Either one of you can answer this. What do you What do you attribute that to?
So, Mayor, if you don't mind, I'm going to use a term that Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker, has been emphasizing, where hate is just as strong as love, right? So we really need to look at what these folks were following, because you're talking about over 75 million people voted for Trump, who was spewing hate. So something connected with them. We have a lot of work to do for healing in this country, because to have the blind rage for your neighbor just because they may have acquired different parts of the American dream than you, or come to America for different reasons and by a different way than you come to America, we have to, as legislators, create a legal pathway to citizenship so those persons coming to our country have an opportunity. We also have to be sure that the disparity of wealth between black and brown and the 1% is eradicated, because right now we have built a place of the haves and the have-nots, and that's not the country that I love, that I've taken an oath to serve. And spewing hate yesterday was scary. It's no place for it. So we're really going to have to double down in that space to take the scales off those persons' eyes who have been blindly following this man, as you mentioned, a Jim Jones, into the pits of hell, so that we can rise like the phoenix.
Speak to that, Mayor Kazmaugh. It's everybody's Mayor Keith Kazmaugh of the town of Woodland Park, New Jersey. Go ahead, Mayor.
So, Ron, I have to tell you, you know, yesterday should have been a breaking point for everyone in this country, regardless who they voted for back in 2016 or who they voted for this past November. Yesterday was nothing short of a coup attempt. It was an insurrection. It was an attack on our country. To see the vandalism and to see people breaking in to our nation's capital, the temple of democracy that represents the United States of America, was simply unconscionable. And there is no doubt that it was ginned up by the president of the United States. He lied to his own supporters yesterday in telling them that he was going to go to the Capitol with them. That obviously did not occur. But, you know, this president is known for untruths, for lying blatantly to the American people, to coming up with wild conspiracy theories, these allegations of voter fraud throughout the country, with some of his Republican colleagues tried to cling to up until and some beyond yesterday's insurrection. It's a stain on this nation that will never fully go away. That being said, I have friends and family who voted for this man. And to the assemblywoman's point, I certainly don't hate them or dislike them, or I may argue with them. But at the end of the day, we have to be a country of acceptance. And that street runs both ways. And in where we are now is a point of needing to see this country be healed. I believe that we have selected and elected the right individual to heal this country in Joe Biden. I have been a Joe Biden supporter since I first got involved in politics, was elected to the council at age 23 back in 2001. I think Joe Biden is about as real a public servant and as real a politician as you get in America. I think that he is the right man at the right time. He has the ability to reach across the aisle, even after these destructive 4 years, to try to rebuild this nation. And even in light of the tremendous results that we saw out of Georgia on Tuesday, he is still going to need to work across the aisle in order to build consensus and to build a sense of healing here in our country.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left of the program, so I want to try to squeeze as much in as I can as possible. Now, it's even more horrifying than seeing those people break into the Capitol building was, for me, everybody, Woodland Park, New Jersey Mayor Keith Kazmaugh, because there are people listening around the country, and 35th District Assemblywoman Javonda Sun with her, from the great state of New Jersey, both Democrats. Now, what horrified me, again, what horrified me even more than the fact that these people were taking over the Capitol building was the realization for me of how delicate the balance of democracy is. Because it wasn't for the Constitution. If it were not for the Constitution, the framers of this country, were not for them, they could have flipped the script and said, okay, we don't want Biden, we want Trump. So the delicate balance of democracy is what, you know, that I was more horrified by that than just about anything else. If somebody's calling into the program, let me just flip and see who this is. All right, let me see. All right, Ron Kelly Show, how are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Well, my name is Pionk. I'm calling from the Midwest. How are you today?
You calling from the Midwest? Okay, all right. Speak your piece, brother. So I have.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't agree that Trump excited a riot. The riot was peaceful. We had people there, and he was infiltrated. But here's the thing: Congress should have Pence acted out what the Constitution calls for when you have controversies between states.
Well, he
send
did
it back to the state legislature. Article four says so, right?
I don't have a lot of time left. With all due respect, the everything was done. The states had already certified the election, and all 50 states the elections were certified, and Biden won. Now, according to the Constitution,
Ron, the Texas suit. Well,
hold
look,
on.
Sir, if you don't want me to speak on your show, just cut me off.
No, I'm not.
You only got a few minutes, and you can have the rest. I got about five more words to say.
Okay,
is it okay, sir?
What you're saying is inherent. What you're saying is not correct.
You haven't even heard what I said, was going to say.
Say your five words, my brother. No disrespect to you, but go ahead.
Well, and you want to cool it over calling me brother, but here's the thing. When you have a controversy between states, the Constitution said it has to be settled with the legislatures of the states. That's why the courts would not hear it. It has to have due process and work its way up. Thank you very much.
Ron, to that point, and it's Shavonda Sumter. The problem is that we need to get civics back in the schools. We need to get civics back in schools because the misinformation of our people across the country on the process, the electoral college process, was astounding. However, it came from a source, which is the chief executive of these United States, that falsely incited a riot and a mob. Falsely incited it. So when folks are talking about what states should have done and then what Congress should have done, Congress was taking the necessary steps to ratify the actions of the states. So just as our caller just called in, this is what we're up against: a retraining and an education on the due process on what the Constitution means, what state constitutions mean that is separate from the United States Constitution, that's also state constitutions. And Mayor Kaczmarek is also a avid student of political science from Syracuse University. These are the things that we must teach, let alone the basic decency of respect for all mankind and womankind.
See, but the thing here, thank you for that, something. But see, but the thing with that was you have Ted Cruz, who can argue before the Supreme Court. You had Josh Hawley, was highly educated, Yale, Harvard, Stanford, all the places he went. You have two people who know the Constitution backward and forward, but still, in an effort to placate Donald Trump, they still, after all the things that happened, they still objected to the Biden.
But you also had Mitch. You had. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ron, the difference between those two senators, Cruz and Hawley, that you mentioned, is that they know that what they were arguing runs contrary to the Constitution and the rules that are established in this country. They did what they did yesterday and the lead up to it because it was politically advantageous for them in their own minds with their own supporters under the current state of the Republican Party to carry out those words and deeds that they did yesterday. And that is the fundamental problem, not only with the current state of political affairs in this country, but most potently at this point within the Republican Party nationally, is that they are creating their own set of facts. They are creating what they're trying to sell as their own rationalizations for what's happening. And it doesn't fall in line with the norms of our democracy. And that's the unfortunate point that we are in our country's history.
Yeah, I knew it was, had a lot to do with. See, because I think they want to pick off the Trump supporters because they're thinking that I don't even know if Trump's going to run again in 4 years from now. He'll be 78 years old. So who knows? Joe Biden is 78 right now. So, I mean, who knows? But the whole thing.
Ron, can I make one other point? And I'd like to use the Georgia election on Tuesday as a case in point here. But I believe that much of the rhetoric that has come out of the White House and from others in the Republican Party from Election Day in November up until the January 5th election in Georgia, I believe that it further hurt Republican support across the country. And if you were watching the election results in Georgia, and I've dug into them a little deeper on some of the websites that take you county by county, you can see that Republicans who may have voted for Trump or, for that matter, voted for the two incumbent Republican senators in Georgia in November did not do the same on Tuesday. And that's because I think even Republicans who may tend to be more conservative, they may tend to be more fiscally conservative or socially conservative, whatever their ideology is, they simply said, we can't continue this. We can't move forward with this. So within, less than a month and a half, they made a decision to go in a different direction.
Yeah, and I did notice that because, watching Steve Kornacki. Nobody does the board like Steve Kornacki. And
New Jersey boy, too. He's a New Jersey boy.
He's the one with the khakis and the shirt rolled up. He's the one that I definitely trust. He's not about no game. They even had him on Sunday Night Football. And that is right. He pointed out that Trump support from 2016 to 2020 had went down a couple of percentage points through that. Okay, everybody, got about a minute and a half left. Everybody is with Woodland Park, New Jersey Mayor Keith Asmar, who I met years ago when I was trying to get a interview with Pat Lepore years ago. And Mayor Kasmar, Clerk Asmar, helped me get an interview with him. At that time, West Patterson Mayor Pat Lepore. And my good friend, 35th District Assemblywoman, the smartest lady in New Jersey politics, in my humble opinion, Yvonne Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey. Thank you both so much for your time. I appreciate it. And we got to do this again. And Assemblywoman Sumter, I'll be looking for my car.
Absolutely. It's coming, Ron. Sorry about that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Kasmar. Thank you, Assemblywoman Sumter. Thank you. Okay, everybody.
Stay healthy, everybody.
Thank you. All right. Now, 50 minutes left. All right. Thank you so much. Shout out to everybody. Gail Carnegie, thank you. Donnie Wilson, Jazzy Jess, Linda Lombrazo, Lamont Gates. If you want to say something to me, please do it behind the scenes or inbox me or something. Don't make those kind of assertions on. I appreciate you watching the program, but don't do that. if you want to make a comment about the show, because I know you're into radio too, please do text me behind the scenes and let me know. All right, Gail Carnegie, Lamont Gates, Linda Lombrazo, Donnie Wilson, Aaron Maisto, Jr., Omar Arabi Rebu, Shaman Allen Chambers, my sister, everybody who checked out the Ron Kelly Show today, thank you so much. Thank you. See you next week. Until then, bye.